What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Bruce and Banter.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Roland. How are you?
Great. We have Bruce back in the studio.
Bruce!
Bruce was in our old studio before.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome back, Bruce. Just give a quick introduction to who you are in case we get new listeners, and we'll go from there.
Oh, wait. I have to give the introduction? I thought you were going to introduce me.
No, man.
We did. We introduced you saying introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Oops, my bad. I didn't write anything or anything.
That's all right.
So my name is Bruce Alexander. I guess I can no longer say I'm new to Baldwinsville, but I'm fairly new to New York. I came from Oklahoma. I've been here a little over a year now. Wow, that happened quickly. I'm a life coach and a business consultant. I own Real Coach Bruce LLC. I mostly work with entrepreneurs, and I help them eliminate overthinking so they can execute decisively. And it's really fun. I love doing it. And I'm here today just to talk to the guys because they're awesome.
Thank you. Welcome back.
And you cover a lot of areas, right?
Yeah.
Overthinking is so common too, like, especially, like new business owners.
Oh, yeah. Like working with entrepreneurs, I found, over the last, I guess it's been about a year since I was on, right? Hasn't it?
Maybe.
It's been a little over a year.
So I guess I've been here about a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I've had a decent amount of clients that have been here, and the ones that I've enjoyed the most have been entrepreneurs. That's why I decided to narrow down into specific entrepreneurs, because there's a little bit of a disconnect with people who work for other people whenever it comes to investing in your own self-growth. There is, whenever it's all on you, whenever you are the one that like everything falls back on, you don't want to waste your time or money like other people kind of do. Like whenever I work with other people who work for somebody else, I've seen problems with them not taking it seriously. Entrepreneurs have already proven that they're willing to work on something that's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I like working with them.
And you consulted with your wife recently and you said, let's have a baby.
You know what's funny?
Or was there no consultation?
There was massive consultation.
Okay.
So she had to consult with me first because I had a vasectomy So after our now 9-year-old, I think after she was a year old or about, I'm terrible at time, but about a year old, I got a vasectomy. So it's been 8 years. And she said, I don't feel like our family is complete. And I said, really? Oh, that would have been nice to know about 7 years ago. But we had a conversation and, I initially was like, this is crazy. And the more I thought about it, the more like I was like, okay, like the initial thought was like, let me think about it because it'll make my wife happy. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, I would not be upset at having a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have a new baby, it is amazing. This baby is like amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
The person I am now compared to the person I was whenever we had our last child, completely different.
Sure.
I was still a firefighter when we had our last kid. I was able to be around more.
So this is a B-ville baby, your first B-ville baby.
Yes, first B-ville baby, 100%. And I'm so much more present for this child. Yeah. Like, I'm just seeing so much more of her life because I work for myself. I control my own schedule. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate got pregnant, I took the last month off of work before she had the baby. I took two and a half months off after just to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been amazing.
Yeah, sure.
But now I have to get back to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's important. Luckily, I like my work. So that's a good thing.
So you have a daughter, right?
And I have four daughters and one son.
So you don't have to say, is your son named after you?
No.
Oh, man.
Because I'm named after my dad, and I would never do that to myself.
No, I was just thinking, like, how cool would it be if you had another Bruce? It'd be like Bruce Deuce.
Bruce Deuce. Well, I am Bruce Deuce, so he'd be Bruce Trace, and
No,
I can't do that.
Bruce Toi.
Four daughters. That's crazy.
It's a lot of weddings to pay for. Start working.
Yeah.
I better strike it rich, man.
Yeah.
I better.
But now that you're dad again, you know, with the newborn, do you feel differences from before? Like when you hold this baby now, the time you spend with the baby now?
Everything is different.
Yeah.
And I attribute a lot of that to the fact that the self-work that I've done, because so much of baby number four, this is baby number five, so much of baby number four was like guilt. I was like, oh, you know, I'm not really good enough, and I don't deserve this. Like, I don't deserve to be here in this moment. I need to get back to work and, you know, make money for this kid. Like, I was everywhere else. This kid, I'm like, hi. Mm-hmm. Hi. And she like looks at me and she smiles, and I'm like, oh man, I just melt. It's like she's, you know, they say babies are just like, you just want to eat them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh man, she's so cute. She got the chubby cheeks.
Baby and, cheeks and baby fingers.
And already, little
dimples. Yeah.
She's 4 months old and she's got her first tooth in already. Oh. She's got, you know, it's like that gummy smile with one tooth. And it's like, oh my, you're so cute. You're so cute. Yeah.
It's great because you're, you know, 4 months into like birth, you get that. And then towards the end of your life, you only have one tooth left also. So it's like,
that's true.
It's like full circle.
That's, you know, that's exactly right.
Born in diapers, die in diapers, right?
Do you have pets?
Unfortunately, I want to kill all my dogs.
whoa. It's a family. We like, that, we like,
that's animals, where we draw the line. No.
Yeah, that's the line.
So my oldest dog is he's a wolf German shepherd mix. Oh. Beautiful dog, except for the fact that when we got him, I don't know what happened in his previous life, but he's missing like his front row of teeth on like both top and bottom. So he's only got like two fangs on each side.
Your daughter's growing them.
I'm going to store these away for your future kid. So like, he looks kind of like a meth addict or a dog. And it's,
he need dentures.
But if you look at him from the side, he's beautiful. He smiles. You're like, oh, hey, what happened?
I've seen women like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Does he have a wisp?
Woof. He drinks and his water spills out.
I think it's very important that kids grow up with pets. I just feel that way. Like when I was growing up, I wanted dogs so bad. Like,
yeah, same.
I would constantly bring dogs home. I'll send my friends with puppies to my house. My mom would say no. Like, I did not get a chance to grow up with a dog. And now I'm an adult. I'm like, yeah, I get to fucking do what I want. So I'll get a dog if I want. But when our son was born, we already had a dog. So now, and then we got another dog and another dog. So my son got to grow up with dogs in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like companions, you know, like sometimes you could come home, like as a kid, I remember just having bad days, right?
Right.
But like a dog would cuddle with you or hang out, and it kind of changes your mood a little bit.
100%.
It's also good for your hygiene, like your immune system builds up a little bit because, you know, dogs are not the cleanest animals.
They drink out of the toilet, then kiss your face.
Whatever, so, right? Yeah. They go outside, yep. Run and piss and shit, and then you smell their feet. So
what? What?
You don't smell your dog's feet?
Dude, I don't take a dump. I give me your feet to sniff. What was wrong with
you? I was talking to my wife the other day. I'm like, does it smell like Cheetos? Or like,
oh, that's like
Fritos.
Fritos. Smells like
corn chips, yeah.
So I heard this recently. And
Cheetos? What the fuck kind of dog?
Apparently that's a sign that they're like, their gut is off. If they, like, there's a high yeast level or something, it's...
Really? Their feet?
Yeah, if they smell like Fritos, like... That's what I heard.
I think
I'm not a veterinarian.
No. Well, my dog will poop and then he does this thing afterwards, like quick, 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 with his feet.
I'll smell your dog's feet.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Just don't touch him anywhere else.
Okay, weirdo.
You're a weirdo. I called you a weirdo first, man.
Yeah, bring in the peanut butter.
But I think
extra crunchy. I'll eat it all first.
They're all all those
on me.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, that's too late. It's too late. You can't take it back now.
All the peanut butter jars are empty at Frank's house.
So
clean sidewalls.
We should drink out of curvy sidewalls. We have a glass called curvy sidewalls.
What is that?
It's just I think it's a Pilsner glass.
Okay.
It comes up. It's like, it's got like, so.
I just called it that.
It's like a stripper. It's like a stripper glass. It's really skinny, okay. And it gets big at the top. So it's got like skinny legs and skinny waist and then it's busty up top.
Oh. So where the name came from, I was drinking it. And because of that shape, when I would stop and I put it down, whatever beer is there would like splash inside.
Oh.
I was like, what the hell's going on? I go, I don't know. It's these fucking curvy sidewalls. I'm just stuck.
Curvy sidewalk.
So we sell them. We sell the curvy sidewall glasses.
Is there one that can?
I'll show you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see this curvy sidewalk.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because
I feel like I'm going to be attracted to this glass.
I that's why it's going to be on this side of the table.
Hands off.
You see? Huh? Huh? Look at it.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Except dog. For he doesn't look like that today. He didn't shave.
No. He shaved this morning. See, curvy sidewalls. Small waist.
Okay, it's a regular Pilsner glass.
Busty on top. But you got to lick me and Roman. No, it's cool. That's your fetish. I don't judge.
He's like, listen, I'm not here to kink shame.
No, yeah. I'm here to kink appreciate.
I'll drink the next one out of that.
Yeah. Those are good.
So yeah, so I think it's nice for kids to grow up with dogs.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, even if they have no teeth.
Except for then they get old. So not the kids, the dogs.
Yeah.
This dog, he's 13, 14, and he's at that point where he won't stop pooping in the house.
Mm. Mm.
We've been putting up with that for about 6 months. I was like, okay, who's going to clean it up? We, you know, he's important. Now he started peeing in the house.
Yeah.
And his hips, like, he, you know, when he walks, his hips start to do that, like, lazy drag thing. And it's like, we had to talk with our kids a couple of days ago. It's like, Ghost probably is not going to be here too much longer.
Yeah.
Not only is he peeing and pooping in the house, which is very unfortunate, but, like, he's starting to look.
Yeah.
What's what I'm looking for?
Decrepit?
Deteriorated.
Yeah.
Deteriorating.
Yeah. And so it was like, we don't want his quality of life to be bad. Like, that's when he was just pissing us off. It was like, you know what? We're going to suck it up. Because we got him, you know, for our kids to grow up with dogs, but now he's starting to, you know, struggle a little bit.
Yeah, as long as you make sure he doesn't struggle, that's the important part. We had to say goodbye to one of our dogs, and she lived almost to 17. But we've had her before we got married. We've had her before we had our son. So she was like our baby, you know?
Yeah, that was our first dog, Ty. He was almost 15. Whenever we put him down,
mm-hmm.
and it was so hard. It was so hard, but he could hardly walk at that point.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, you don't want them to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had kidney failure and she had all these problems, and the vet was like, I mean, I don't know the quality of life she's going to have if you start pumping her with medication. It was time. So I'd rather let her go. When she's not suffering, they let her suffer and then decide, okay, now we're going to let her go.
Yeah.
My dog's 8 right there behind you. That's me and AI Roman and our babies.
I can see it. I can see it at first. I see it now.
Yeah, that's right. Because it looks just like us.
Yeah.
Roman's dog looks just like him.
So now we're down to 2 dogs.
So you guys are full in on this AI thing, huh?
Yeah, it's funny. Let's talk about that.
I've used AI, like, initially, I was pretty against it, but then, you know, it keeps showing up.
Yeah.
And I am still against it for creating new things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you are...
The fuck?
If it's your first time using a microphone, then you probably shouldn't...
Why did it end up on my penis?
It's your penis has got a magnet.
You guess
it's
so.
Okay, you're going to put it in your mouth anyways.
Who is this guy? I'm usually the one who's doing... All right, well, this game on now, bitch.
Oh, no, you just...
Yeah.
That's all right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, like for like creation, like creating new things, I don't love it. But for like,
what do you mean creating new things?
Like, so if you are like a graphic designer and you're using it to make a logo,
oh, imagination piece of stuff.
It's like, I don't like that. If you're using it as a kicking off point, it's like, oh man, I'm kind of struggling for some ideas of something I can create.
Mm-hmm.
I love it for that. I love it as a thing to like to help you get the starting point.
What about if I've created a logo and idea and design and I've got to the point where like, can it be any better?
Mm-hmm.
And then have AI do like more samples of that and be like, oh, I actually like that better. So you created it.
Yeah. Then I think
AI
I think
is more, cool. More like, you know, did the fine tuning.
I think that's cool. If you are creating something of quality,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like there are people who do this as a living, and I don't love like the fact that you can like give me a logo,
yeah.
And it's like that logo could have been somebody's kid's dinner for like 6 months,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And instead, you did it in 2 minutes, and also like it's not that good,
yeah.
Like, sometimes they're good. Like, sometimes, you know, AI puts out some stuff that's pretty good, but sometimes it's like, it's just really mid, and people are like, oh, I got this logo. I'm like, you can tell that's AI, and nobody put any thought into it.
So when we first started this podcast, AI was just kind of getting, just taking off, right? And then we had all these concerns. And we talked about stuff like that, like taking graphic designers' jobs away and things like that. So, and there was a concern. And I said, there's going to be a point where there'll be no turning back.
Mm-hmm.
And we have passed the point of no turning
back. Oh, yeah, the government's using it, right?
And
defense.
To the point where it is so widely used around the world that you cannot not use it. So now I have learned that, yeah, anybody can have access and use AI, but if you don't use it correctly, it's a useless tool.
Yeah.
And it will perform poorly. And prompts and your imagination, your ideas, your creativity is a big role in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think graphic designers will benefit of using AI. You like that?
That
I knew you would like that.
That mm-hmm. one.
Yeah, this is a beer tree, blood orange, mango, mellow, fruited, sour, 8%.
Virtuosity, shout out.
So I think the graphic designers can do is now benefit using AI because their skill, their creativity now will, with an AI, will turn that into efficiency.
Yeah.
So now instead of spending a week working on one or two logos, in a week, they can finish 15 logos, right? So
getting 15 people to buy your logos, though, that's, you know, for a week, 15 people buying logos a week, that's a lot of logos.
Well, typically, you already have people that want a logo.
These are just exemplary numbers. You said one logo can feed a family for 6 months. That's not going to happen. So.
Well, no. Yeah. You, like,
how can one logo feed
not a feed a family of eight or whatever the fuck it is.
No, okay, maybe not my family. My family's fucking huge. You're not going to feed my family with anybody's anything for 6 months. No. But like there are, you know, $250,000 logos.
Well, it depends. Oh. Right. So that that level of clientele, you're not just going to be using AI. AI cannot perform an outcome of that quality.
But the market will eventually dictate what the quality needs to be. If people are like okay with AI logos, everybody's like, that's fine. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
Then the people who are spending $250,000 are like, nobody cares anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like logos aren't important.
So you then enter into, when a company creates a logo, you don't stop at the logo. You get into social media marketing material. So all of these things that I think graphic designers and artists can also use tool as an AI. And I've said this before, as long as we use AI as a tool, I don't know if you've heard about this, but there are companies now that are actually getting rid of AI. Like they've laid people off counting on AI that could replace them.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're regretting it. Now they're hiding people back and they're not using
AI. I don't think that's the right move. I mean,
which part of it?
Abandoning AI. I don't think it's going away.
No, they're not abandoning AI. But like Apple, I think Facebook, they're not requiring their staff members to use AI for all the tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually want to come back and be like, use AI as a tool, but we still need you
right.
and be more productive.
It's not going away. I mean, it's going to be
No, it's not
going
to go away.
No, that's always what I hoped for it is that there was always going to be a person behind the product and that AI was going to be used along the way to take all the bullshit out of it. It's like, because it's like right now, if you're trying to create a product from scratch to market, there's a lot of bullshit. There's a lot of like, you know, renderings that you have to do. And like, you have to, you know, there's a lot of brainstorming and there's like, you know, coming up with the logo, coming up with the product name, coming up with the market fit. Like there's so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that, I think you can kick the AI and say like, okay, who's my ideal market? If I'm looking to sell this product, blah, 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 like who, like, let me ask AI some questions and see who AI thinks is good for this product. Okay, great. That's who AI thinks. Now I'm going to take my human mind. I'm going to take what I actually want for the product. And I'm going to say, okay, here's the information. Here's what I know. And we're going to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying like having AI create the whole product. And it's like, boop, ding.
No, I think it's not there yet. It can do a research. So you can be like, do a research for me, like you said, right? Like, What should we do? Then you take that information, then you create your product. And then you can say, okay, refine it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then whether you like what it did and you use it or you don't like what it did. So like our logo, for example, we had an idea for the logo, started a design, took the rough design, put it in the AI. AI created, so like so I included photos of us when we were younger. And then I included the sketch. Included the sketch of the idea we had for the logo.
Mm-hmm.
Then AI created it, and it didn't look exactly like that. And then, I took that and then used the photo editing software and then refined it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of in conjunction, right? Like you're working with it. The creativity, the idea is still yours, but it's almost like brainstorming of another person.
Yeah. And that's love it. For, like I said, I love it for that. I love it for being the wall you bounce ideas off of.
Mm-hmm.
And the person is like, hey, have a look at this. What do you think?
And just time saving, instant research at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not taking anyone's job away. Excuse me. I'm not taking anyone's job away. You know, it's just, I'm saving myself time going online and researching, finding websites, you know, scraping information from each website. It's like, I'm just saving that time. I'm just telling it what I need and it has to go and look
for it. There's convenience and accessibility because you can do it anywhere you want from any kind of mobile device you have.
Yeah.
But there's frustration. I mean, we do use it. I mean, we've got these flyers for our event coming up, but look at our logo at the bottom. Like you can use a bunch of different platforms. We use Gemini, Grok, you know, ChatGPT, all these things, but sometimes it's different quality.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the way you got to present it, like Roman says, you've got to talk like a child. Talk like it's a child.
Actually, the way I engage in any task. So let's say, for example, I would say to AI, I would say, I'm looking to start a podcast. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. I don't say, hey, I'm starting a podcast. It's going to be about this and create a logo, blah, blah, right? I'm not doing this info dump. I'm starting a company. I'm slowly building the brain up. I say, I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to need your assistance. And says like, okay, great. What are you working on? And I would say, my podcast is going to be about race cars. Oh, great. What kind of race cars, you know, like is this specific? So we slowly building that brain up in micro doses of information.
Mm-hmm.
Like one or two tasks at a time.
Yeah. Then it's because I don't have a skill of building spreadsheets that are like elaborate in like formulas and creating all these things. But now using it as an assistant, I can build a spreadsheet for inspections, for example, right? Then I took that spreadsheet, converted it into a web app. And now my guys use that web app to change heat pump filters.
I like that. That's
and then when they come, and then when they complete it, it archives a PDF file. Like I don't know how to do that.
And something like that would have taken away someone else's job. That's just taking that task away from someone that would have done it. Now they could do something else.
I could hire somebody to do that.
Yeah, I mean,
right. But I'm saying one of your guys. Like if you've got five people working for you, say you guys make the spreadsheet. You can have this thing do it. Now they just use it. Like they called it lost opportunities. Mm-hmm. What could you have been doing other than that?
Well, and also I think that Roman's not going to hire a guy to come in and do that. You're not it's not that you're cheap. You're too cost effective. Like you're like, no way. It's the cost is not worth the benefit. But if I can do it for super cheap and didn't get the benefit, why would I not do it? So in those situations, I absolutely love that use case. I think
or
it's great.
I would hire somebody to do it if they use AI and they'll cut that time down so that they're not charging me arm and a leg.
Mm.
Yeah, it's all value.
I'm okay with that because, okay, so if I don't have to spend 3 hours or 4 hours to build this app and this spreadsheet, but you can do it and you're going to charge me $400, $200. Okay, I'll pay you. You build it, but use these tools for efficiency.
Well, or I mean, so you basically, as long as you get the reduced value, you don't care how they do it.
Yeah.
So if somebody says like, hey, I'll build you that program, but it's only going to cost you $400.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go and they spend 16 hours doing it. You're not going to say, you didn't use AI. Oh, you idiot. I don't want this.
Well, no. I evaluated. I'll give you an example. Okay. I'm not going to mention a company name for this purpose.
Coach Bruce.
So
he has not paid me anything. So it's not me.
ABC, I'm going to say ABC Heating is not a real company. If there is, I'm not talking about you. they reached out to me and there's a property I manage and they said, okay, this unit needs to be replaced. It's $64,000 to replace this unit. Or we can fix it and it's going to be $10,000, okay? And I said, okay, well, what's wrong with it? So I actually went up on the roof with a technician and they showed me two components of this unit. One component, you can clearly see there's a burnout chip on the panel. And the control panel is damaged from water or something. So it's no longer functional. Okay, two components are broken. The way I am is, well, it's a metal box with internal components inside. The metal box, which is the housing, is in excellent shape. I mean, there's little rust spots here and there. We'll
except water got it to damage the
No. Well, that's not what it's from because I saw where the water could have gotten onto it. Somebody left the door open. But anyway, so because the seal's still good, there's no reason for it. I contacted the manufacturer. I was able to get the brand new board for $900 and a new controller for $600. Okay?
Yeah.
So the time for programming this components and installing, the time to install them takes an hour. The time to program it, maybe 2-3 hours. So right there, that's about $3,000 job, which I am okay paying somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I pay somebody $9,000 or $10,000? Do you see what I did there? I figured out what it should cost. And I understand the overhead. That's fine. Charge me what your hourly rate would be. So if your hourly rate is $150, I am 100% certain you're not paying your technicians $150 an hour.
Well, let me tell you why you pay them $2,000. The knowledge gap. That's why you don't pay them $10,000. I would pay them $10,000. In that situation, right. I would have paid $10,000 because I don't know what you just went through.
So that's my evaluation of things. So if I am like, okay, I can spend 4 hours using AI tools and spreadsheets and build this, right, with AI assistance, and it's going to take me 4 hours.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody's willing to do this for me and will charge me $400 or $500, and I can invest that time into something more productive or return on my investment, right, on my time, then I'll pay them that amount.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be reasonable. It has to be realistic. You can't tell me that guy's a dumbass. I'm going to tell him it's going to take 10 hours, so I'm going to charge you $2,000. So no, I will not be the person that will fall for this. So if you can get this from other clients, that's fine. And there might be clients out there, they don't give a shit. They're like, whatever. Charge me, write off.
I feel like there's two different camps here. There's you are very like line item. Like I want to know exactly what I'm paying for.
I need to know.
Then there's other people who are like, I want a result. That result is worth X amount of dollars for me. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the line items. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And luckily for me, those people exist. Because if somebody says, what exactly are you going to do for me for your rate, which is, you know, around $2,000 for 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. How exactly am I going to count? It's like, I'm not going to account it for you. Like, that's not how it works. In 90 days, the person you were going to be is going to be worth the $2,000 you paid.
That's return on investment.
Exactly. But somebody's like, break it down for me. I'm like, no.
But that's business. It's all structured differently.
Yeah, exactly. That's not something you can break down. I'm not a life coach, so I don't understand your job. But correct me if I'm wrong. And feel free to say, Roman, you're full of shit. But
start now.
Well, Roman, you're full of shit. No, I'm just kidding. Right. I've talked to Roman extensively. I don't think he's full of shit, but let's see what he says.
Oh, I've talked to more than you.
If I had a client approach me and I'm a life coach, and if I understand your career correctly, and they say, well, break it down for me, how is it going to change? Well, I can't do that. Every person is different.
Not 100%.
I can't guarantee you a result that I'm going to provide you with your personality and in your outcome versus this person. So what I can tell you is the return on your investment of your $2,000 is your train thought, your ability to approach your business goals and plans would be much different than they are today.
Yeah.
Yeah. For you, they're paying for a toolbox. I can't give you those.
Can you just call me a tool again?
Yes. But you're giving them
the sharp tool.
You're giving them a toolbox, and then they've got to use the tools to get the results that they want to get.
And unfortunately, no matter how much money you pay, I can't make you use a toolbox. Mm-hmm. Like that is the it's one of the most unfortunate things, because whenever I first started doing this, I tried to use the toolbox for them. Mm-hmm. I was like, I coached a good friend of mine, and I wanted so badly for him to do well. He was, you know, working at a great job, making great money, had a great family. Everything about his life is great. Not to him. And he was like, and I so badly wanted to like carry him there to where he was at the top of the mountain. He looked back down. He's like, everything that I have is grand. Mm-hmm. It didn't work that way. No matter how bad I want to, I cannot do the work for anybody. All I can do is say, here's some stuff that if you do it, your life is going to improve dramatically very quickly. If you don't do it, it's going to keep going the way that exactly it is. And you're going to say, why?
Yeah. Well, it's like buying a $10,000 computer only using capacity of $1,000 worth of what it can do.
Yeah.
Right. So it's it's capacity of tools and to the what level we utilize them.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, the tools you give them can do all of this and they don't use all of it, then what's the point?
Well, then this is our toolbox, right? You see all this stuff. I mean, we've upgraded since the last time you were here.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got all this stuff. We've got the space.
This is driving me crazy.
I don't even know what just happened. What am
you
I just doing
put
wrong?
The microphone, move
the microphone was like this.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. What you know, fine. Let's get a cigarette. Yeah. we put this in and we learned. We didn't know anything about podcasting, right? But we learned and we're learning as we go. But it was a lot harder to do without all the tools we've had to do it. So now we're using them to our advantage, and this new equipment here we're talking about. It's just, it is what it is, right? But people are results driven. And, you know, as you guys talk about, you can't guarantee results.
Nope.
You never can. And if you do, it's fine to do. At some point, you won't be able to do it anymore because you won't have any clients.
Yeah.
Because you just can't. You know, but you give people the tools to make themselves successful.
Speaking of which, I asked you guys about some relative metrics whenever we first met last time. You didn't have any specific goals. Like, and I was like, well, I think you guys—
To the podcast?
Yes.
Or?
Mm-hmm. You guys were like, we're just going to keep doing this. And if it works out—
Yeah.
Have you changed your mindset on that? Do you have specific goals that you're aiming for? And have you hit them?
Yeah. So we actually—
Not all of them, but yeah.
Yeah, not all of them. But part of the change of going into this new studio—
And thank you for that, because that got us thinking about it. Yeah.
That's
the whole point.
Part of the reason moving to this new studio, we said, well, why don't we capitalize on the space? So—
Yeah, because we were nuts to butts in the other one, right?
It was tight.
we've built—
I didn't hate it, but
we've built knowledge in podcasting. Now we've been doing this for over 3 years. We've built experience of conversations and understanding, you know, being able to talk to so many different people, mm-hmm. whether it's here in the studio or remote locations. It's a skill we developed over time. And now with the space we have available in this new studio, we decided to help others who want to start a podcast but don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So the equipment to buy or outfront cost, right? So now we are in works with 3 different clients who will use our space and just rent our studio.
Oh, nice.
Rent our time. So we'll be the producers of their podcast. We're helping them with logo designs, with structure of the podcast, registration with different websites and, you know, distribution and what do you call it?
Hosting
and all that stuff.
And
helping them with
editing,
like, you know, marketing of the product. So all the stuff that we've learned over the time and experience, now we're kind of passing this knowledge and expanding our podcast into these different avenues.
But we're not going to be a full-blown media company, maybe at some point, but that's not what our point is right now.
I was going to say, both of you guys have pretty busy day jobs.
Right.
How are you pulling this off? Because you are now, you spend a lot of time on the podcast. Mm-hmm. You have busy day jobs. You have families. Now you're adding a third piece or a fourth piece.
Right. Well,
so time management, this is actually something I've learned by listening how Elon Musk manages his time. And the amount of work this guy gets done in a
beyond
day
is
crazy. Yeah. I'm like, how the fuck do you rest? Like, how do you sleep, right? Mm-hmm. So I think if you properly plan your, if you, time management, so if you're at this location and you're doing this task, while you're here, what else can you do to accomplish another task? So on the days we record our podcast, why don't we just include the other client's podcast to be on the same day? You know, mm-hmm. we already took that time away from the family. We've already invested this the rest of the night for our podcast. We just stay a little longer. We work on their podcast. We pre-record some
and episode. Using the resources that we already have
yeah. right,
to help streamline, you know, that yeah. process for them and us.
You know? So stuff like that, you know, like I have a, you know, I have another job and then I have to fit meetings for my another job. So.
Oh yeah. Cause you have two full time or two day jobs.
Well, I have construction business, a real estate business and a property management business.
Three
yeah.
full-time day jobs.
So we stay Gosh. Busy. And part of the reason why I can do it is, you know, big thanks to my wife that she's being okay with me taking that time. Mm. So.
But that's why we set this up on these days, because that's a block of time that works for both of us. So like, you know, when we first started, I was like, you want to do it tomorrow? You want to do it tonight? Can we record this? And it was kind of a sporadic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one time we didn't see each other for like 5 or 6, you were sick. We didn't see each other for like 5 or 6 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, you know.
But we plan, if you look at the record of our episodes, we've never skipped a week. So we try to plan ahead, right? So this is all about time management. Mm-hmm. You know, if there are listeners who consistently listen to us, we want to make sure those episodes are out. And we made a commitment from day one. I think we made a commitment like, okay, this is fun. We're getting amazing feedback. Are we doing this? So our podcast is a business and it's a once a week episode comes out. Sometimes two episodes per week because we can't have too many backed up. You know right. what I mean? There's a lot of guests that come on and they want to hear their podcast. They want to share it with their family, with their friends.
Have you started looking at the numbers yet? What like
oh,
what,
we, what's your we always look at the numbers. Yeah.
So are they
again? Listen up? Notes was because of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. I mean they're growing. They're not growing as fast as we wish.
Well, it's way bigger. I mean, it's over double.
Yeah.
Good.
It's over triple what it was when we last saw you.
I think
as far as across all social media.
And I think when we first started across all social media, our views were around like 30,000 a month or so. And then they jumped to 250,000, 220,000 a month, depending on which content comes out.
And it's different times of the year, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and it's like anything that you work on this consistently, the effort is compounding.
Yeah.
Like it's going to jump and it's going to be like pretty consistent for a while. And then it's going to start taking big, huge leaps.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you can't say when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of, what is his name? I just forgot his name. But it's this guy, he talks about how when you're pumping the well, like, you know, when you're pumping for water, like the old school, like, you know, pump well.
Yeah, it takes a while.
It takes a while. And it's like, and if you stop, then the water goes all the way back right. to the bottom. But if you keep pumping,
yeah.
at some point that water is going to come. And at first it's going to come in spurts and eventually the stream is going to come. And then it's going to come, like it's going to start pouring
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Priming the pump. Yeah.
Like you guys have been pumping for a while and it's, you just. It's,
yeah, we just don't know how deep the well is.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
But also we're doing this part time. So we're yeah. not fully invested into with our time into this podcast because it's not possible. We have yeah. families, we have other jobs.
I mean, but I don't think that, I personally, the effort that you guys are putting in, I feel like is pretty much full-time effort except for marketing the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You could be like, you know, in the middle of the day calling people like, have you heard this podcast? Like, I don't even know what all goes into marketing a podcast because it's hard. It's like, it's a different genre of marketing, but you could be, you know, working on ads and all that stuff during yeah. the day, but you're trying to do it organically.
Social media yes. is a huge reach. And we do what we can. I mean, social media management is like a full-time job.
How many posts do you make a day?
Oh, God.
Well, it depends. I mean, there is
some
no
days
set, no.
Might be few, yeah. Some days not none.
Well, see, you can't, you know,
that. Right? And that's the problem with being part time. Like Roman's talking about, you know, like we just don't. I mean, we have sponsors, we have people, you know, giving us stuff, and we're definitely in the red, right?
Well, yeah, well, here's, I'm surprised. Do you know what Zapier is?
No. Zapier.
I'm so surprised. Zapier is another AI technology that will, like, you can webhook it to your social media platforms, and it'll, like, if you have stuff ready, it'll grab it and post it for you.
So we have
do it.
Yeah. It'll just say like, you know, you come up with some captions ahead of time, and then it'll grab the thing and post it for you, like at certain times of the day.
We have Metricool that does something similar to that.
Then why are you missing days?
Well, the platform is,
we got to have stuff to post.
The Metricool platform is, you can create one post and it'll go on like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook,
threads,
whatever X
for 80% more than you pay for all that. You could put on X. So yeah. We don't do that for X because like, what's our special?
It's like, it's a one post created that instantaneously goes onto all the platforms.
I know, like, I hate to tell you, there is no excuse. Like, content is not an excuse. You have every episode you do is at least 50 pieces of content.
We can do that.
It's at least 50. So you have the content. And if you have, like, if you haven't tried Opus AI, that's another one that'll just grab the video and just chop it up into a bunch of videos. And then boom, you just post something. So I'm like, done is better than perfect. Mm-hmm. The consistency in social media is how you get the reach whenever you show up. Even if you decide to show up once a day, every single day for 9 months, that's how they know that they can trust you. And they're like, all right, people are going to like this because they're always showing up.
Yeah. We're working on posting it. Some content we have to create, some content, you know, like we don't want just the content to be only about the episode we've recorded. So I don't want to just do 10 clips from the episode we've created. I'd like to create some other content, you know, maybe we're on a road trip or...
Yeah, we like the variety, right?
Yeah. So I'd like to mix it up a little bit.
Well, but just because you haven't created that other kind of content doesn't mean you shouldn't post something.
Right.
So it's like, if you haven't created the content that shows, you know, about you guys personally or you doing something outside of, you should always be like, damn, I didn't get that other thing done. Let me post something from the show.
Yeah. Right. Well, so you're right with all that. Part of the editing piece is we get 3 shorts and a full video. Mm-hmm. So now we've got to go get the other shorts.
Oh, I thought you edited.
No,
we don't edit.
Oh, okay.
So that's another
expense. Yeah, well, it did when we started off that way, but again, we're too busy to, you know, so we haven't edited.
And video editing is not easy. And
syncing, all that bullshit.
It's, there's some people who can record podcasts and just post it raw. Nothing edited, but this isn't live, and this isn't something like we just record, add intro, outro, boom, done.
I wonder if we could just post raw shit.
You could.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, also, like, you could, you know, take some, like, the before the clap stuff, post some of that. Be like,
delete it.
But BTS, behind the scenes.
Like, well, then you're going to hear about turtle ejaculate and rollerblades.
And but they hear about that on the show anyways. It's nothing new.
Also, some guests don't want certain things.
That's fair.
They're like, oh, we're not recording, right? I'm like, no, that's not going to be on the podcast. So we respectfully keep things out. They ask us just to keep out. Or in the middle of the podcast, they can be like, oh, can we like make sure that's out? Like, all right, we got to edit that out. So it's hard to do raw posts.
But, you know, going along with what you said earlier about AI, about making it more efficient, if you've got this guy who's editing your videos, use him. He gives you the 3 shorts. Great. He gives you the full video that's edited. Mm-hmm. Take that full video that's edited, send it to Opus AI, and have that cut into clips, because then you've got 30 clips.
Yeah. Right. No, we have that. We need to, not that we cannot do this. Our content has to be a little more diversified. Then
do that.
I know. It's just fine.
But I think consistency over diversity, though.
Yeah.
So it's if you're not doing the diversity, then do the consistency.
Yeah.
But I think the diversity is...
Diversity is important because it grabs attention of variety of followers.
I agree.
You know, because I hate to mention political views, but, you know, I'm sure we have followers who don't align with the same political views, and it's fine. We respect them. We we don't care.
Do you guys align in political views?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do we?
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's some of it. You better.
Yeah. Don't fucking bitch slap you right now.
But we respect all of our followers and listeners who are respectful back. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we don't like, I don't measure a person based on their politics. I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's what you believe. You have every right to do that.
When you get angry is when it's a problem. When you're discussing your opinion and one person thinks that your opinion is fact, and that's the issue. Like,
I feel like the differentiation is passion versus anger.
It's like, or facts versus feelings.
Oh, yeah, that right. too. But it's like, I respect passion all day long. But whenever you're just angry and you refuse to, because angry people don't listen.
Yep.
Passionate people are, you can still talk to them. I've talked about, you know, being a black guy, I get to talk about all kinds of hot button issues all the time because people think they know what it's like to be me and they don't.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's tough. But I've had so many tough conversations with people who were like, how do you talk to that person? Because they listen. As long as they listen, like, I'll pretty much put up with anything.
Yeah, color, religion, political, none of that stuff
also
matters.
Also, if you think back, I don't know, at least 20 years, this kind of division was never in this country.
I feel like it wasn't this obvious. Being, like, once again, being a black guy,
yeah,
there was a division. It was just different. Now the division is no longer color-based.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
Well, social media. It's so accessible.
And you can look at somebody before and you could say, they're not like me. Mm-hmm. And then you'd be like, so I'm going to stay away from them. Now you look at them, you're like, are they like me? I can't tell.
Well,
and it's so, we're like, why does it fucking matter? Just like, are they a good person?
Think back, people had their differences in politics, but it was never like, oh, you voted for this person. Oh, you have this view. We're no longer friends. It was never like that.
Yeah,
I
totally agree.
People would go to toll booths, their vote, and come back and have dinner together, work together, be friends, right? There was never this discussion and creation of division. It's like when someone had a specific view, that decision was made at the voting polls. So that's it.
Yeah.
After the voting polls, you come back, your friends, your family.
You know, and I feel like part of that is because current leadership has brought other things outside of politics in. Mm-hmm. And that makes it harder to separate. Whenever you start to attack people on their personage or different things about who they are instead of on their politics, now if you still support that person, mm-hmm. you're supporting all those other things that they say.
Yeah.
And as before, it was like a politician was a politician, and they weren't, that's all you knew them for. And you didn't have access to their personal lives or what they did before. Is like you just knew their platform. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I support their platform because I support them. Now, if you support their platform, people assume that you support everything that they say and do.
Right.
And that's a dangerous, you shouldn't support anything. Everybody has something that you should disagree with at some point. Like there's no person.
Politicians are full of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Every politician, no matter what side of the aisle, they're full of shit. They say one thing to get votes and then they do other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the thing is, you can't say that whether it's a Republican politician or president, or whatever, or a Democrat, that they're like, oh, we're going to do this. Oh, that's a good thing. But then we get to do something bad, but we did this good. So vote for me.
Yeah, so it's a wash.
So it's like, it doesn't work that way. Like, I wish there was another
party. Another party? Yes, me
no.
too.
Oh, I wish there was.
But there's never going to be another party in office.
Independent.
The big
never in office. Like,
There should be like at least a 5-party system. Like this whole 2-party bullshit. Yeah. Like it's.
But
a trap.
I wish there was another department for accountability. I wish that politicians that run on specific agendas are held responsible because you gained that vote based on the promises that you made. So if you don't hold to those promises you made, then you scammed people for the votes.
Firing squad.
Not firing squad. I don't want to kill anybody. But you are responsible to follow the same promises you made that you gained those votes. It's like me telling you, invest this much money in me, and then this is the delivery I'm going to have. And in the end, I'm going to pocket all the money and be like, oops, it didn't work out. Like there's a, you know, accountability for that action. So I feel like politicians who run for public vote, run on their agendas need to be held responsible for what they promised.
It's never going to happen,
though. Of course it's never going
to
happen.
Yeah, I've told my wife this for years. You need to have, because there's a two-party system, right? There's all these other offshoots. It's a fucking, you know, tree with two branches.
Yeah.
Someone's got to get in office and they've got to, someone's got to become president and they've got to change their party affiliation while president.
Oh, wow.
Because then that will get the notoriety or the garner the support from the whatever other party it is, whether it's independent or, you know, I really don't care about the other ones anyway. You know, Republican, Democrat, independent, you know, because all the other ones are just those three, just with one little thing, one little change.
Yeah.
Like I paint my pinky nail blue. I paint my pinky nail. That's all it's going to be. Like there's all sorts of little tweaking shit. Mm-hmm. But if you can change, you know, your affiliation to get that notoriety, I think that's the only way you're ever going to get out of a two-party system.
Yeah. I mean, Bernie Sanders was probably the best choice. Like at the time, I didn't like Bernie Sanders. I was like, this guy, like, you know, he's an independent. Like it seemed like crazy. But now looking back, I'm like, damn, Bernie Sanders sounds really good right now.
But all these people, you know, they control who gets it on the debate stage. You know, the Republicans, so like, you know, they can squash you, they can change, like, all these things. Like there's no reason that independent can't caucus with a Republican. Choose it to caucus with a Democrat. So like, but then they can keep you off the stage. And like, it's a mafia, right?
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's two families.
Well, and then those two families have all the money.
Yeah.
And when you've got all the money is the power. Yeah, like, yeah. And that's, you know, let's not get too conspiratorial here. Cause
well, yeah, I mean, I don't know any politicians that went into,
yeah, you come like poor.
Certain level of politics and up to the presidency level that you've ever were like sustained that income or were poor.
Yeah, like who's come out like in worse shape?
At
yeah,
certain right? level, you like exponentially become rich.
Yes. So yeah, based on a $200,000 salary, whatever it is, how do you all of a sudden get, you know, 10 million after your first 8 years?
And all you, like all your kids are going to private school your grandkids. It's like, man, I made $100,000. Like I was only halfway.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem right. Like, how does the math ain't math?
How about we make all positions volunteer except presidential?
That would be wild.
Can you imagine?
That would be crazy.
You got to volunteer.
I believe you should get paid, but I think there should be term limits.
I mean, there are term limits.
Not in Congress.
No.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, but then, you know, you can also switch from House to Senate. Like, but there's still term limits. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to be here for 8 years, you go here 8 years, now you're done. But when you could be there 30 or 40 and you get all this, you know, you owe me this, your favor's this, and, you know, I got that dirt on you and there's pictures of this and you've been sending me money forever. Like that's a problem.
I used to want to be a lobbyist whenever I was in college. Like, I was like, oh, that would be a pretty good job. You get to go take something that you kind of like and convince other people to be on the side of that. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, I feel like lobbying is one of the biggest problems.
I wish that was taken out.
Like, if they were to take lobbying out, like, I don't think that they're ever going to just, like, say, like, you only get 3 years to do the job. Cause I'm part of the, you know, that's kind of true. Like if you only get 3 years, like by the time you're on your third year, you're like, I finally get it. And they're like, get the fuck out. Like that would be not very effective.
But I believe that would, if that is the case, then that's going to, if that was the standard, then you'd get it done sooner. Eventually, like, you know, we all had gills when we were born. Now we don't fucking gills. Like, we evolve, right?
I don't agree with that.
That you had gills?
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe we did.
Maybe, I mean, I don't agree with it hands down, but I'm kind of a creationist now, like that. But I think that in 3 years, if you were on your own, you could get it done faster, but you have to work with not only the rest of Congress, but then the Senate. And then right now you have a president who can shut down anything, shut down, or he can write anything he wants to. He can just decide, like, you know what? I decided that Tuesday every week is going to be a holiday. Right in. Mm-hmm. And that's just, and nobody's like saying boo to it. Yeah, like that's just what the world we live in. So that I don't think would fix the problem. Taking the money that's getting thrown at them to where like no people who started out good, who came into this to do good. And then they were like, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that they're throwing at me or my constituency or like what, you know, the other thing that I want to get, they're throwing a lot of money at it. Like I could do a lot of good with that, even though you don't. Like whenever the money keeps coming, you just keep.
But also,
the money,
the expenses that the government spends is not it's not realistic. Like, for example,
well, they don't ever audit the Fed or anything. Like, nobody knows what fucking money's going.
Forget that part. Let's look at it this way. Renaming of a park, $6 million.
What?
So, like, why is it $6 million to rename a park?
That's a lot of money.
So, if you, so whenever they pass a budget, right, and there's this whole book of like where all this money is going.
The pork belly spending.
Break that down and look at the expenses. There was a renaming of a library. So, put a fucking new filing paperwork and a new plaque, right? Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why? So, these prices right there is the kind of expenses that we have. Like, why does it cost that much money to do that? Give me an explanation. To rename a park or to rename a library or to change a light pole. If I was to hire an electrician to change the light pole with a new light and they say, okay, that's going to be $6,000. Why does the government pay $25,000 to do the same job? Is what I would like to know. Like, I don't understand. Why does it have to be that much more expensive? So why is the private sector can get it done cheaper and faster, and the government sector is much more expensive and slower?
So that's really funny that you mentioned this. I was reading an article, which means I was on Threads or on Instagram.
And that's your article?
Yeah, that's my article. But it was talking about how, do you know who Fred Durst is?
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit, you know, lead singer, how he's never been.
Bang Britney Spears. Yeah.
Quote unquote.
It happened.
I believe it too. But he has never been paid royalties. Like, they, like, Limp Bizkit was huge whenever we were growing up, mm-hmm. right? Somehow, like, the way that they charge, like, the albums and sales, it's basically saying that they haven't profited yet. And that's what, like, Harry Potter, quote unquote, hasn't been profitable yet. Because the way that they write in everything is so they don't ever have to pay anybody out. I think what you're saying is that as the people of the United States, we are Fred Durst. We are the actors of Harry Potter.
Or even TLC, remember them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were ass out too.
Exactly.
They made money, yeah.
Because the government is writing it up to look like we are there's never any leftover money. Because that leftover money should be coming back to us. But instead, they I don't even know what they do with it. They shove it up their butts. Like, I don't even feel like they...
Well, that's the problem, is a lot of this money going into other people's pockets where it should go into other places that it could benefit us.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's the problem. Like, there's no reason why the government expense for the same exact job should be 3-4 times more money.
So when do you start running for office, Roman?
My wife will kill me.
you want to, though, don't you?
No.
Lies. He does.
I like to oversee some stuff, you know. Like,
that's how you do it.
I'll save you some money. I don't want that money. Invest back into your local communities. They need the money.
They do.
You know? Not that I'm saying I don't need the money. I want the money, but I would not take someone, taxpayers'
money. He just did a politician.
I want to work.
Said,
exactly. You're waffling.
Right. No. I would work for it. I wouldn't.
Wait. I would just work only half as much to get 3 times more. That's all.
Ladies and gentlemen of the United States, I want the money. I want the money.
No, everybody wants money. That's what I'm saying. Is, of course, I want money because, you know, like you said, I mean, money, unfortunately, is answer to a lot of things.
And we have families, right?
You know, so it's a currency, and if it's not money, you trade, right? So, either way, but what I'm saying is, of course, I want to earn money. But I would not.
You want to earn money.
I want to earn money.
You want to earn
money. Yeah, I don't want to be like, okay, oh, government was going to pay $25,000 for this. Okay, I'll get it done for five. 20 is mine. Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't do that. Fair is fair, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I want. But it's a lot of people got their hands in the jar and there's no more cookies left for others.
No more cookies.
Well, you alluded
are
to.
Are there any more virtuosity? Because I would.
You like that? There's,
I think, I one really, more. I really like it.
There's not one down there.
No.
Maybe there was. Is there one in the back?
Yeah, I think there's one in the back.
Yeah. Yes. So you alluded to how we should be posting every day and all these things. Like, I get it. And you're right. But it's very similar to a growing business, right? So you grow really quick and the infrastructure is behind. That's kind of where we are, because we are the infrastructure.
You are the infrastructure.
So we've grown, and we've grown, you know, fairly large for us and much bigger than where we started.
So,
but we just don't have the means to be able to support that yet.
I had a client who had the ability, Like, and I strongly believe this, she could turn the faucet of business on and off depending on her mentality. Like, I would say, is the faucet on or is the faucet off? And she's like, it's off right now. I'm like, why? She's like, oh, I just don't feel like I'm ready. I'm like, why? Why? Like, why are you stopping yourself from getting business because of things that you can't control right now? When you get the business, you will have to figure more things out, 100%. But you will have more options to figure them out because you have the business. Same thing goes with if you were to scale faster than you're comfortable with, yes, you would have to figure out some things, but you're both smart guys. You're both really smart guys. And whenever it comes to the point where it's like it's moving so fast that you no longer can keep up, you have many things that you could let go. You and I talked, me and Roman talked extensively about him finding his second, his guy that he can lean to and say, I need you to take over. I've got something, I want to be out of this business so I can be doing bigger things to grow my other stuff.
Yeah, I think I told you about this. My problem with that is expectation of that person is higher than the reality. So that's where my struggle is. It's hard for me to find somebody that I can say,
well, pay him expectation money.
I'm looking to hire somebody part-time, $25 an hour, easy fucking job, and nobody wants to work.
What's the easy job?
Change filters, change light bulbs, fix door handles. What?
I might take it.
All right, good. You know, and it's just like, why is it so hard? Why do people come for an interview and then just don't answer?
You know, I think that, you know, especially with a job like, not that job. That job, unfortunately, the people that job attracts are people who are looking for an easy job. Unfortunately, those are not the most dependable people. I think that whenever you actually put it out there that you are looking for somebody to teach what you do and you put it out there in earnest and you are actually like, basically you're offering your soul out. You're like, this is everything that I love. I'm looking to give somebody the keys to everything I love. Then that person will show up. But until you're actually willing to give somebody those keys, they're not going to be.
You're there. Offering your loins to everybody.
Well, I'm not going to do that. So I have trust issues.
You do.
Maybe I feel that way from experience. Because the reputation I've built is probably the most valuable things to me in my business.
How old is your son?
14.
I mean, I would say 10 years is a long time to wait for that person to start handing the keys over to.
No.
Well, 10 years, Roman will be 30.
And then what if he doesn't want to do it?
I don't have to hand this to him. I'm not.
But you got to hand it to somebody.
You don't have to hand it anyway.
I guess you could just let it shut down. That's super depressing.
No, I would not shut it down. I would.
Work until you're 95?
No. I would delegate. I can't. That person needs to earn trust for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that person needs to show that they care about their job. And I've told all the guys that do work for me, I said, look, if the company does well, we all win. I'm happy to give. I'm not greedy. Mm. So if we made extra $5,000, I'll take half and then I'll split the other half. Cause I got other business expenses, you know?
Right.
So
you don't have to justify it to me.
I'm just saying.
It's all your money until it's not.
I'm just saying, I'm open like that. I mean, I've given bonuses. I'm like, hey guys, if we finished 2-3 days even ahead of schedule, I got bonuses to give out. So I could be an asshole and be like, hey, we need to get this done 2-3 days early and then keep all that extra money.
Right.
I wouldn't keep that extra money. So if that extra money is there now, I'm happy to split that because what it does is it motivates workers to perform better, to care about their work, to know that there's a reward for my hard work, to see that, oh, my boss cares about me, to see that I'm not taking everything for myself, that I am willing to share the wealth. So if I do that, I think that I can be a better leader that way.
But in that case, you still always have to be there. You still have to be there, like, in person as the leader of the business to do those delegations.
Well, like some projects, I'm not there. So currently I have projects going
that's
on.
New. Right? Isn't that
currently
new?
I mean, yeah, I recently stepped back from some of the remodeling work, but I still oversee. In the end, I check the work.
So you are still there.
But I'm not there. Like,
you're not there day to day, but you're still in it.
Oh yeah, I have to. That's the part of the reputation that I've built. Mm-hmm. So if I ignore all these projects and let them end up being however they're going to end up, and it's unsatisfactory to my client, now my reputation is diminished because...
So do you have like a head foreman?
No.
Do you have like a head general contractor?
I mean, there's a guy that is like, used to be my foreman. He's a sub now, and you know, I trust him.
So what if, like, let's pretend he wanted this and you let him run 10 jobs. Mm-hmm. 10 jobs, and you came in on every job, it was exactly how you wanted whenever you came in and checked it. Mm-hmm. Would you then say, okay, I don't need to show up to the next job?
Yeah, 100%.
But that hasn't happened.
No, I would say you run that sector now.
And so that's what I'm hoping for,
yeah,
for you, because I, you know, I don't
want to... Show me that person.
I'm
It is so hard to find somebody like that. And part of it is the personality. Right, I have those expectations. I need you to be caring like that.
I feel like part of it is you don't believe it can happen.
I believe it can happen. I'm not optimistic that I can find somebody like that. I believe.
Okay, so you believe it can happen, but you, like it's like, well, a unicorn. Can, like, I know they exist somewhere at some time, but I'm never.
Santa's not
see
real,
it.
But I'm not saying
why
not.
I can. Why I believe it can happen is if someone is committed, I can train them to be that way. Mm-hmm. And then I can be like, all right, now I can. I'll give you a quick example. I had this kid working for me. We did an electrical job on this business. Gosh, we run probably 4 miles worth of wire. I mean, it was a commercial building, huge, right? Mm-hmm. He was dialed in to how I do things and what is the next task. Before I thought I need a screwdriver or I need a part, as I was reaching, he was already handing it to me. Mm-hmm. That's like, we're in sync right now.
Right.
Let's go. So let's say he's with me. We've done 2-3 jobs. I can be like, Johnny, you got this. I'm going to step out. I'm going to go to do something else. Mm-hmm. So now here's the person that I have worked with that I understands how I like things done, understands how I like to approach my clients.
Wait, so what happened to him?
He decided he wanted a different career. So
just he left the whole business.
Yeah, he enjoys working with engines and boats and motorcycles. So, and his passion, I'm happy for him. If that's his passion, you know, it sucks for me, but I would not take away someone's
dream. You guys burp a lot, by the way.
Dream. Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm burping all the time.
Not take away someone's dream or passion.
No, fuck you then.
Yeah. So that's the point. Stop evaluating me.
That's fine. Look, it's what I do and I can't help it. And also, like, the reason why with you specifically, I have to, because Frank and I, we haven't sat down. We haven't sat down one-on-one. Like, you and I have sat down one-on-one.
That's not by accident.
He's like, I don't want you fucking looking at my head.
We got the whole onions thing going on.
You're so not shrinking my head, you mother. But like, I know that you've got this bigger vision to build this thing.
Yeah.
That in order to build it, you need like at least half of your time back. Mm-hmm. At least half.
Well, it's like this podcast, right? You're like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? And time is the biggest factor.
Yeah.
You know?
And because of the business that you do, I know that it has happened for other people where they have been able to make an exit. They've been able, like, not a full exit, but been able to say, it's my name on the building, but you are running the show. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it.
Well,
I know it exists.
You don't want an exit. You just want to step aside and move somewhere else.
Which is, my name is on the building.
Right.
You run the show. At least this show. You run the remodels. Like, I don't want to run remodels anymore. It's too fucking time consuming.
Yeah.
And in order for you to do the thing that you want to do, which is not remodels, I'm not going to talk about what it is because that's your business. You have to not be spending so much time in that sector. And until you, for one, believe that that person can come into your life. And then whenever they are there, if you don't like, because if you don't believe that they can actually, I'm not going to find them. They could be right in front of you. It could have, like, I'm not saying it is that guy. It could have been that guy, but because you weren't treating him seriously like mm-hmm. that, he may not have seen that there was a future to do that.
No, I've supported this kid quite a bit. I've helped him get a car. I mean, it's not that. It's just his remodeling his was not his passion. But I'm...
Were you offering him big bucks, though?
I was paying him well. I helped
him. There's paying well. And there's paying somebody like you want to make sure that they understand, I want you to stay here for a really, really long time.
No, none of his friends were making as much money as he was making. I helped him buy a car.
Were any of your friends making as much money as he was making?
Well, my friends are much older.
Exactly. Than so him, like, and like, they, if he's outpacing all of his friends, he's like, cool, that's awesome. But I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. If he's outpacing your friends, he's like, oh shit, this is serious. Like I could do this. And make that much money? I'm just like, money is a big part of it.
When you hire somebody and you want to keep them around, you can't be measuring what your income versus other people.
No, you don't do that with everybody. Not by any stretch of the imagination, but when somebody is special and they get you, then you say, hey, I want to bring you deeper and I'm going to give you a special position nobody else has ever had. I'm going to pay you like it.
But it... the funds have to be there to give that back. So like I said earlier, I'm happy to share what the company brings in.
But what I'm wanting you to get is that maybe the funds aren't there right this moment. Mm-hmm. But if he is able to take 6 months down the road, like 50% of your work off your plate, now you are 50% more valuable and you know how to make money.
And I'm willing to do that. But at the time, if I can only pay him, the max I can afford to pay him is what I'm paying him, which still better than not even forget the hourly rate, the state.
Wait, minimum wage?
Minimum wage. Forget minimum wage. We're beyond minimum wage.
Yeah, that's not in this conversation.
He's doing great. Got him a car. I mean, there are limits to what I have access to as far as funds and the ability to give back.
Okay, so last time, we also talked about your inability to talk about asking for help and sharing your vision. So
yeah, I mean, I'll ask for help when it's like, I can't do it.
So, but in this thing, if like, and I'm not saying that you weren't, but if you were talking about the future, like, hey, Dawson, let's pretend his name is Dawson. Hey, Dawson. As in the creek. I've got this vision where I want to do this big thing. And I think that you are the path. Like, I want you to come along with me. I want to train you. I want to teach you how to do what I do. And in 6 months, 1 year, you're going to be making X amount of dollars. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that number is. But you're going to be making X. I can't do that for you right now. Because right now, too much of my time is tied up in this business to make the money to pay you. But if you come along with me, let me train you. To where I can step off, then I can take what I'm making on this and give it to you. And then I can go do this other thing and make more money. Did you have that conversation?
Well, I have meetings with my guys.
I'm talking about with that guy.
Almost weekly. Well, no, that guy, I offered him the future. I offered him, I said, look, there's more to it. I would be happy to offer clients home inspections, right? So I said, look, Dawson, I will pay for the school so we can obtain a home inspector license, right? So you're going to be now a licensed home inspector. You don't have to pay for the school. I will pay for it. And then we'll have an agreement that for every client, every home inspection you do, I get the percentage from that so that I can cover my expenses that I paid for you for school. Now that's something we can offer. And then we can grow from that. So I gave opportunities. And I cannot give those opportunities to everybody. You have to have a type of person with a personality that is willing to do that.
Right, absolutely.
So, yeah, I could step away from putting a tool belt on and remodeling houses or office buildings, whatever, because I have now these other subcontractors maybe that used to work for me, now they're subs, and I can trust them to those levels. But in the end, it's important for me what the outcome of satisfaction from the client is. So
yeah, it should be.
Yeah, that is very important. Very important for me. So there's a lot of big companies would say you cannot please everybody. So there's going to be 20-30% pissed off, bad service, clients are mad, we're going to fail, but we're winning 60%. So that formula makes sense for us. We're profitable. It's hard for me to accept that. It's hard for me to say that I am so big now, I'm okay if there's unsatisfied, our job was bad, because that's the reputation. If somebody wants to like trash talk me or whatever, and it's bullshit, I don't give a shit. Go ahead. I'm not gonna, I can't stop you, you know? But if we performed a job and that client is unsatisfied, I will do what it takes to make sure they're satisfied.
I have no doubt about that. I wouldn't have referred somebody to you if I didn't think that was the case.
But there are so many in this industry that are willing to just take the money and don't give a shit about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because to them, it's like, I don't care. I already got paid. They're unhappy. Don't care. Next client.
Going back to what I was telling you, you have to believe that the person exists that is going to be able to handle what you were trying to offer them.
I'm sure there's people exist like that.
That you would, that they're going to come into your life.
Yeah.
Like that is a, right now, and I feel like there's a little bit of a, like a self-trust issue. Like, I don't think that I'm good enough for that thing to happen to me. Like, I know those people exist, but that's not going to happen for me. I disagree. Like, I believe that if you were to actually like open yourself up to that, then that person would be put in your life. But until you actually think that it's like you're ready for it, and I think that's a big part of it, is like you don't want to let go. You don't want to, like, you like being able to be the what, final word in showing up and
what
saying.
What do you mean, let go?
Like, being able to say, like, okay, you've done your 10 jobs in which they were immaculate. I didn't have to say a thing. I showed up, I looked, and everything was good. Letting go would be, like, now I don't need to show up to the next four.
Yeah, now that person is the face of my company and can directly communicate with the
client. I wouldn't say that they're the face of your company.
Well,
but
they are. They're representing my client.
They are a face of your company. I would
right,
say they
so,
are a face.
So, correct. So yes. In the end, when the job is complete, whether I was present or not, it's my company's name
mm-hmm.
in the end that did the work, right?
Yes.
My guys did the work, but in the end, that client is going to be, this company did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied. Or this company did it, I'm pissed. How many satisfied clients go online and put good reviews out there?
Minimal.
Very little. If I take one pissed off client and it fucking spreads like a virus, right?
I think it's like,
the first thing they think is like, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to tell everybody. But nobody says, I'm so satisfied. I can't wait to tell everybody. I'm going to go on social media. I'm going to make sure all my friends spread the good word that you do such a good job, right? That doesn't happen. They'll talk about it. They'll be like, oh yeah, I'm fucking so happy that Roman did this job. I'm so satisfied. But that's where it stops. So that's the problem. So if
that's not the problem. The problem is you don't want to let go.
Yeah, I'll let go when it's right.
And so,
but you would you do the same? Would you do the same?
But my business is not one I can let go of. I don't like what I want for my business is exactly what I'm doing on a bigger scale.
But would you grow it?
What I want to grow it to is like 15 to maybe 18 clients a month. That's it.
But you would be the only one with the clients. Would you have other
life
coaches?
Nope.
So zero
desire to do that.
Yeah. So only you.
You have a desire to do something that is outside of what you want to do. That means you have to leave what you want, what you're doing currently.
Yeah.
I don't have that. Like if my dream life would be doing exactly what I do more than I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's it.
And only you doing it.
Yeah, no, and what I would do is hire someone to handle my schedule. I would let my wife quit her like other clients so she can handle my finances. I would like just clear everything else off my schedule so I can do more of what I'm doing whenever I'm working more often.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I love doing. And it pays great whenever I'm doing it, but it's doing enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like all it is finding the ways to repeat it. That's it.
Do you want to plug your business again?
So yeah, I'm Coach Bruce. You can find me on Instagram, Real Coach Bruce. You can find me on Facebook on Real Coach Bruce, but nobody, like, my Facebook business page is garbage. Like, it's so weird. It only gets like crazy people. Mm-hmm. So you can follow me personally on Bruce Alexander on Facebook. Bruce Alexander on Instagram as well. Beef Wayne is my Instagram handle. I don't post as much as I used to, but you can see my new baby.
You should be posting every day, because that's what content does. I mean, multiple times a day.
Listen, I did it for a long time. And then I realized that the people that I'm finding on social media are not my people.
Yeah.
Like,
my
consistent market is showing up and face to face and letting people feel.
I was just
going
to say, socialize.
And word of mouth for you too.
Yeah. Right? Unfortunately, I have to show people who I am face to face, because most of what I want to do is not online. Like, people coach online. There's a huge business for it. I don't really want to do that.
I prefer that. I'd rather meet in person. Like, sometimes it's so hard to send an email or a text to a client and be like, are they going to interpret this text the same way I'm writing it? You know what I mean? Where I'm like, let's just meet in person if we can.
I mean, there's an energy exchange that doesn't have, I mean, okay, it's like, it's a percentage of what it is in person. Mm-hmm. When you sit down across from somebody, you feel what they're, where they're already at, and you're able to adjust to that. When you sit in their computer screen, you're like, hey, I have to ask you a bunch of questions to get what your energy is currently. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not a hippy dippy person, but like, energy is a real thing.
Well, like recently, Frank, you were interacting with our upcoming guest, and there's like, you had issues with like mistext and
now I start dropping F-bombs and there's some laughs back and forth. I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing. Like,
but if you met with her in person and just discussed this and like, okay, done.
Yeah.
Like, what a different outcome.
She's going to be funny. You can just tell, you know, you get this in that situation. It worked out, but I get in person is much different than.
Where's your studio sponsor?
Well, we don't. Well, so we're working on that. We've got sponsors.
Yeah. Is a brewing company is sponsoring this episode. And Apex Property Management and FM Realty Group sponsor this episode.
Nice.
But we need to have a
Bruce
Alexander
studio. I could probably afford what you guys are currently charging for a studio sponsor, but you guys should be charging much more.
Well, it's a starting point, right? It's a stepping stone.
It is.
Yeah, we want to... I mean, the way you attract somebody is, first, everybody always thinks, well, how much does it cost? So if it doesn't cost a lot, but they'd be like, okay, wow, these guys putting in a lot of work for that much money, they're happy to pay that. But now they understand that just because it's, you know how like you get what you pay for? Just because it's cheaper, and it's not cheapest, like it's the average rate for a lot of podcasters.
Is it?
If you look at the market,
cheaper than a lot of.
That's what I. That's what I thought.
Ours whenever is a little cheaper.
Whenever you told me last, but that was like a while ago. So might have modified.
But if you go online, there's a lot of websites out there that, you know, if you have a podcast, you can sign up, and then you can get these like reading ads, and you know, at the beginning, in the middle, at the end, there are different prices, and so we're within that range. Yeah,
I want you guys to win.
Thanks, man.
I think your podcast is fun.
I
definitely want you guys to be able to keep doing this. So, and I think that sponsorships is a big way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we enjoy it. We're going to seek it more. And then once I delegate more.
Yeah, there you go.
Step away.
Here, I'll go get you sponsorships. You give me like 15% of each sponsorship.
Hey, you got
deal. And
we share.
and you know, we'll see you at the second annual.
Oh, of course. You know, and I was thinking about it, like, I think the last time I had a beer was here.
Oh, really?
But
then I
realized I had one Guinness on St. Patrick's Day.
Didn't you have beer at the Hops on Seneca last year?
Yeah, no, I'm saying was the last time.
Oh, I thought you meant this today. Yeah,
No. The Hops on Seneca. Yeah, and I got a little buzzed.
It was
a good time.
Yeah.
It was a good time, which that's, you know, been my thing is like, I'm not going to like go out and pay to get wasted, but if somebody keeps buying me beer, I'm going to have four.
Yeah.
I'm going to have four and I'm going to be like, hey, that's good.
And you're walking distance, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There'll be food. So if you're
more
local
people.
Or you're traveling, stop by at our event, June 13th.
Guaranteed good time.
Yep.
And if you are traveling, you want to stop by, you know, drop us a line or something. We'll make it special for you.
Yeah, let us know you're coming in.
I'll also make it special. Back rubs?
No.
Rubs of some sort.
There will be a special
heavy back of what? Like, back of what, Rub?
No. I went there. It's my fault. Yeah. I started this.
That's you started right. It.
Coming into your studio does that to me.
Good. Wait, so we got the second annual Hops on the Seneca event June 13th in Baldwinsville.
We're looking to continue that. We want to say thank you to all of our listeners, our followers. We appreciate you. You can support this podcast by going to brewsandbanterstore.com and buy our merch. We have cool things on there. We're still going to be adding more. Or if there's something you want, it's not on there, let us know. We'll make sure that's added. Thank you to Hoptop Network. Thank you to Eastwood Brewing Company for sponsoring this episode. And thank you to Apex Property Management and FM Realty Group for sponsoring. And thank you, Bruce, for taking time to come out and chat with us. Nice to have you back in the studio.
Was not expecting an AI chat episode.
You never know.
We talk about
there's nothing
stuff,
to expect, you know?
Yeah, I didn't have a plan. And I love that about you guys. You keep it organic. Punches and it's fun.
For sure. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.